man, a Protestant was he. My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork, was she. They were married in two churches and lived happily enough until the day that I was born and things got rather tough. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. Baptized by Father Riley and then rushed away by car to become a little orange man, my father's shining star. Both sides they tried to play me, but I was smart because I play me flute or play me harp, depending where I was. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was...
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, Dee, we're starting our show on St. Patrick's Day.
How could you tell?
You have lively green on, and I have some muted green plaid on. And
I've got my bright green sweater on, which I wear once a year. Well, hello.
Hi, Maggie. Hi, down there. Well, this is Catholic Vitamins, and if you were wondering what that music was, that was the music of...
Darren Byrne and Friends.
B-Y-R-N-E. I think it could be Bernie, but I don't know that for sure. Darren Byrne and Friends. And Dee and I were blessed to see them in a pub in Ireland. I didn't drink any Irish beer, but you did. Do you remember that?
Where did I drink Irish beer?
In a pub in Ireland. Oh, my goodness, she drank enough that she forgot. At any rate, we had a good time traveling in Ireland many a moon ago, a time to go back. Faith in Begora, darling, when can we do it?
I don't know. I'm ready to go back.
This is Catholic Vitamins.
Be Catholic Vitamin I for impassioned.
We have an impassioned, passionate guest. He's a returning guest, Dr. John Bergsma, one of the most favored, enjoyable, educated professors at Franciscan University. The students always vote his classes among the highest and the most educational that they attend at Franciscan University. He's a convert to the Catholic faith, and we'll get into all of that. Dee, I had terrible trouble with my voice during the interview, and what was a smile about it, was about three-quarters of the way through, he began to start talking softer, and he was having trouble with his voice. So it must be something in the water, or the holy...
In the airwaves.
In the holy water.
This is show number 376 for the web, the World Wide Web, and for our radio station, 22.
All right. What does it mean when you say, you know, we have people that don't know what our radio station means?
We have a Catholic radio station here in our town, and we also air Catholic Vitamins on there.
We are so blessed to have a voice of evangelization in our community. We carry predominantly the relevant radio network, but Dee, we have two shows. One you just mentioned, Catholic Vitamins. What's the other one?
Two local shows, yes. Our show, our Catholic Vitamins podcast, and we also have John T's Music Hour.
So John T is a retired, I mean, he doesn't sound like it, but a retired CBS radio engineer, a godsend in our community because he decided to retire here just as we were building KPIH, Rim Catholic Radio.
And boy, did we need his expertise.
For sure, absolutely for sure. And John does a music hour, which in which he finds a lot of popular Christian and Catholic music and artists. He'll feature a different artist each new show that he posts. And he's been running now for probably 20 or 25 episodes. And we hope people are finding his program. He's on twice a week, Mondays at 7 p.m. This is a new time for his show. Mm-hmm. Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 11 a.m.
Just ahead of our Catholic Vitamins podcast on Saturdays.
Yes, it is. Yes.
He and his wife also do music. They're part of a music group who provide music for a couple of our masses each weekend at our parish.
They do. They do. You know, thinking about the KPIH, our listeners who live in Ohio or wherever, I hope that you're able to listen to relevant radio in your community. There is a relevant radio app that you could put on your smart device, and you can do so many things. Listen live. You could listen to podcasts of past episodes.
I listen to the Rosary.
Yeah, the Rosary is on there, and you could pray with them. But what I was going to say is that we have recently added on our station, because it's not carried on the relevant radio network, we have added Catholic Answers Live. And we just started that, and we're hoping to find some money. Hint, hint. User-supported KPIH is hoping to find some money to be able to start streaming. And streaming means that we'll put our programming on the World Wide Web, and then people in neighboring communities, but who attend our parish and who currently can't hear our radio broadcasts, will be able to listen to us on their computer or on their phone or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. One of our board members lives, 13 miles north? He can't hear it up there.
Yeah, well, I think he can hear it. It's just pretty fuzzy. Yeah, you're right. Well, that's sort of the idea behind Prattle. We sort of share a little bit of our faith walk, a little bit of our faith community, and what's going on with us. We'll be back.
To the sinner and ashamed, to the addict and afraid, to the outcast, the lost and confused. Maybe you're in the gutter, maybe you're in the pew, maybe you're locked up, maybe you wear a suit. Who am I to judge the things you do? I am not better than you. There by the grace of God go I. There by the grace of God go I. I don't know. Don't know why. There by the grace of God go I.
Well, that's the voice of Chris Mouya. Chris Mouya was a guest on Catholic Vitamins, maybe 2 years ago, and he has a couple albums out. We'll put a link to his music. Dee, do you remember? He's a Phoenix local, and he's entertained at the Catholic Men's Conference and other places for sure, and we appreciate his Catholic praise and worship music. Speaking of music, Dee, we opened up with that Irish group, the Byrne and Friends group.
Right.
And I don't know if you were listening. You said you had trouble with some of the words. I didn't have the volume cranked up real loud. He was saying that his father, in the song, his father was a Protestant, his mother was a Catholic.
I did pick that up.
Yeah. And everything was fine until the baby was born.
Well, that I guess I didn't get that part. The brogue was pretty heavy in there.
A delight, an absolute delight for sure. Because our guest is from Franciscan, and because Tom and Dee had some feedback, I wanted to share with our listeners that I heard from Mark Nearbus. Mark previously was the director of summer conferences, the outreach program for Franciscan University, and he has retired and been struggling with cancer for quite a while. He has written an article in the Ark and Dove newsletter, Ark and Dove newsletter. It's a two-part article that he's written, and we got the first version of it. And he says, thank you, Tom and Dee, for your prayers. They are helping. Last week I had a PET scan that was completely negative. Praise the Lord. God is so very good to me. Our youngest child, Anne, a junior at Franciscan, is getting married this July and then goes off to Notre Dame to finish up a degree in engineering. Wow. She's marrying a Franciscan grad who is on fire for the Lord. And I say, praise the Lord.
Well, a Franciscan family there.
Yeah. Thought you might be interested in the attached. I'm doing a two-part short newsletter for the Ark and Dove. I just gave a talk to our local charismatic community on the gift of suffering, lessons learned from the cross. Praise and all good to you and D. Beginning of some feedback we've had since our last show.
Hey, since our last show.
Yes.
We went to the Valley the other day.
You had a medical appointment.
I had a medical appointment, and then we went to the Apple store.
Oh, no. I'll get my credit card out. Yes.
And I got a new MacBook Pro.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my aching credit card. Well, how's it doing?
And, well, right now it's doing good. But what was funny was I sent you off, and I stayed there at the store. So I had my old computer with me, so I wanted to have them do the transfer.
Yes.
Hook me up and do the transfer while I sat there.
We shouldn't advertise that because I don't think they do that on the spot for many people.
Well, when they look at old ladies like me, they just take pity on me, I guess.
Not so. Go ahead.
But anyhow, I sat there for the couple hours it took to do the transfer. And then everything looked fine.
Yes.
So I bring it home. And then the next day I opened it up and up on the screen popped something about a download that couldn't be done. And I didn't know what this meant. And I'm like, what? What?
You called your techie husband and he said, I don't know what that means.
1-800-APPLE.
Yeah, right.
I got a nice lady on the phone and she really just walked me step by step through and we got it all resolved and
maybe
everything's fine. The only thing right now I'm struggling with is I can't get it to recognize my wireless mic or mouse, excuse me, not mic, mouse.
Well, maybe we could start doing Catholic Vitamins on the new computer and it would sound really good.
I think so.
Huh? Yeah, maybe me make our voices sound better.
Oh, that would be great.
Dear friends,
we're both struggling with that these days.
Dear friends, that is our second segment of Prattle. Praise the Lord. And thank you for your prayers for Mark Nierbus, a wonderful, longtime evangelist. He worked with Father Michael Scanlon and a number of other people. Ralph Martin, who is now with Renewal Ministries, and they did the fire rallies back in the 80s. And I just petition God to be gentle and healing for Mark and for all who struggle. If you have prayer intentions, if you, dear listener, have prayer intentions, you can send an email with whatever information you want, either in confidence or just ask us to pray with all of our listeners for your intentions.
I have one right now.
Okay, go.
That I would ask everybody out there who's hearing this to pray for our dear friend Beverly back in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Who is now suffering with the second round of cancer, and she just got word from her oncologist that things are not looking good.
Yeah, it's kind of spread into areas that are problematic for sure, but God is all-powerful. We trust in God.
She is such a fighter, though.
Mm-hmm.
And she has got such a strong faith.
So I was getting ready to say, if you have a prayer intention, send your prayer intention to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And if you're in our Payson area community, 928-363-4144, and leave whatever information you'd like. If we need to call you back, we'll do that. Otherwise, it'll be confidential, and our prayer team will pick up on your intentions. Dee, I'm ready to bring up our guest interview. I'm excited to bring up Dr. John Bergsma.
I'm excited to hear him again.
Yeah, and he's going to be talking about two brand new books. Both of them have to do with Scripture, but in completely different ways. We will take a short musical segue, and we'll be up with Dr. Bergsma.
Hi, this is Denise Bossert, and there are more Catholic Vitamins to come with Deacon Tom and Dee, so stay tuned and visit me at catholicbygrace.blogspot.com.
Once again, we are very blessed to spend time with Dr. John Bergsma, a theology professor at Franciscan University, I have attended the priest-deacon seminary and retreat and conference for 12 out of 13 years, and we've been blessed many times to have Dr. Bergsma as one of the speakers for our conference and retreat. It's always been a joy, educational and spiritually uplifting, to sit at the feet, so to speak, of Dr. Bergsma when he talks to us at Franciscan. Welcome to our show.
Hey, it's great to be back with you, Deacon.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, for those who may have missed an earlier show or don't know of the beginning of Dr. John Bergsma as a Catholic, would you do a flyover once again of your conversion just to set the tone for who you are in terms of Scripture?
Sure, happily. So I was raised in a very devout Protestant home. My father was a U.S. Navy chaplain for almost 30 years. Grew up all over the country, moving around as military families do. When I got to about high school age, discerned that God was calling me into the pastorate, and I went to prepare undergraduate, and then went to the Protestant seminary and pastored a church while I was in seminary. And while I was doing that, and actually doing ministry, I started to get concerned about Protestant doctrines like sola fide, or salvation by faith alone, and the idea of sola scriptura, or that the Bible alone is sufficient for everything that we need as church. And these questions are bothering me. And about that time, I decided to go for a doctoral program in Scripture. And as Providence would have it, the University of Notre Dame accepted me into the doctoral program in Bible there. And that provided me the opportunity at that university to meet really articulate Catholics who could defend their faith from the Scripture. I never encountered such people before, and they really impressed me, not only their scriptural arguments for the Church, but also the testimony of the Church Fathers. And when I got into reading the earliest of the Church Fathers and their testimony to Catholic doctrines, especially to the doctrine of the Eucharist, the real presence, I was convicted in my heart and decided I needed to become part of the church that really believed that Jesus' body and blood was present in the Eucharist. And so in 2001, I entered the Catholic Church. A few years later, I moved to Steubenville to work with Dr. Scott Hahn. And then providentially, an opening arose. I got that job. I do the most of their year training in Scripture every year.
All right, good flyover. And I might tell our listeners that we have a copy of Dr. Bergsma two CD set where he tells his conversion story. We are going to offer that for free. If you would be interested in putting your name in for a copy of this conversion story, we'll open up a basket and put all the entries in there. All you have to do is send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and put conversion story as the subject. Put your contact information, and if we draw your name, we'll send that to you absolutely free. It's a wonderful story. Dr. Bergsma tells with tenderness, with love, and with humor his conversion story. For example, Dr. Bergsma, you wanted to go to confession when you were a Protestant pastor, but I don't want to digress too far into your conversion story. But we're going to talk about two books today, one of them primarily. I have it here in my left hand, Dr. John Bergsma's book, Psalm Basics for Catholics, P-S-A-L-M, Psalm Basics for Catholics, Seeing Salvation History in a New Way. And this book is very new. His other book, Stunned by Scripture, we'll talk about towards the end of our time together. This book is sort of a leadership, leading a reader through an understanding of the Psalms, the 150 Psalms, and how they foretell of the coming of a Savior, salvation history, But I must say, Dr. Bergsma, that for some of us who are not educated in the area of Psalms, that there's some things that we don't grasp or understand. Your book is going to be a good help to that. I'm going to start with some basic questions. How old are the Psalms and who wrote them?
Yeah, that's a great question, isn't it? So the oldest Psalm, if we trust the traditions that we've inherited from the people of Israel, which I think we should, would be Psalm 90, which is attributed to Moses. And that's kind of a one-off, though. No other Psalms are attributed to Moses. About half the Psalms are attributed to David. And David would have lived in the 10th century B.C., around 1000 B.C. I should mention Moses would have lived earlier than that, of course, somewhere around 1500 B.C. or 1200 B.C., depending on which ancient historian you believe and whose chronology of biblical history you accept. So, you know, Moses was a couple hundred years older. Besides David, some other authors of the Psalms include Solomon and a choir that's referred to as the Sons of Korah, and a certain choir master mentioned by the name of Asaph, and then a couple of other Levitical singers by the names of Heman and Ethan. And all told, that pretty much sums it up. The vast majority of the Psalms, of course, are attributed to David around the 10th century or around 1000 B.C. But there are some Psalms that clearly come from a lot later, including some Psalms from when the people of Judah came back from the Babylonian exile, which would have been in the 500s or the 400s B.C. So we have some Psalms like Psalm 137 that talk about coming, being taken out into Babylon and not wanting to sing songs of Jerusalem while they were out in Babylon. So these would be later Psalms. So basically, between Moses and the return from the exile, you have about a 1,000-year span. So it's quite a long time period that these sacred songs are composed over.
Dr. Bergsma, what is a psalm? How would you describe to a student sitting in on a beginning class of this, what is a psalm?
Sure. A psalm can be thought of as a religious poem or song. Not much distinction, because songs are written in poetry back in those days, and likewise poems were generally sung. So they were pretty much the same thing in the ancient world. A poem or song of a religious nature, addressed to God and intended to be sung with musical accompaniment. The word psalm really comes from an instrument, the psaltery, which was plucked. So a stringed instrument that was plucked like a guitar, as it were, like a classical guitar that you'd pluck with several fingers of one of your hands. So they weren't built like contemporary guitars, but that was basically the same idea. So you'd accompany yourself on the stringed instrument, and you would sing this song or poem to God. That's basically what a psalm is.
I know that there are psalms that sort of say, this is me paraphrasing, woe is me. And there are psalms that say, thanks be to God, paraphrased by me.
Sure.
What are the types of psalms that folks should know about?
Sure, there's, you know, 7 or 8 basic types of psalms, Deacon. As you mentioned, there's the woe is me kind of psalm, and we call that a lament. And sometimes it's a woe is us psalm. When you've got a group of people, we call that a communal lament. And then there's the thanksgiving psalms, the thanks be to God psalms, and they, again, can be either an individual or a group saying thanks to God. So we've got the laments and thanksgivings, and those probably comprise maybe half of psalms are in one of those two categories. Then you've got some lesser or smaller genres of psalms. We have, for example, hymns, which aren't thanking God for anything in particular, but just praising God for how great he is, maybe because you've looked at the sky and the sea and just inspired by awe of the Creator. Then you've got wisdom psalms that are kind of teaching psalms that talk about God's law and God's word and how good it is to follow them. This would be like Psalms 1 and Psalm 119. There are Messianic Psalms that clearly foretell periods of Jesus' life or aspects of his ministry. A good example would be Psalm 22, which clearly describes the passion on the cross. Then we have royal psalms that talk about how great the Son of David is as he rules over Jerusalem. And most of those royal psalms are also Messianic psalms. They also speak of Jesus or predict him. And then there are a few unusual categories of psalms, like what scholars call imprecatory psalms, which are actually psalms where you call down curses on your enemies. There are too many of those psalms, but there's a few of them. And while we might want to exercise care in using them, you can certainly relate to the emotions of the ancient author. That's hard to resist asking God to deal with our enemies sometimes. So those are seven or eight basic categories, and most of the psalms fit into one of those, Deacon.
So I was going to do this a little later in our time together, but something you said has triggered me. My favorite personal psalm is Psalm 139. Do you want to say a few words from the psalm yourself, and then how would you classify it?
Well, I always talk about Psalm 139 as kind of the pro-life psalm, because it talks about being formed in our mother's womb and how God superintends that process. And, you know, that's really, really beautiful and moving. And it's not that psalm is would be categorized as a lament in a sense, because there's a certain kind of melancholy theme that runs through it, and yet there's this profound trust that's also expressed in Psalm 139 that God is everywhere, that we can never go anywhere in creation that separates us from Him. And there's two aspects to that, Deacon. On the one hand, the fact that we can't get away from God means we're never free to sin, because He's always present with us. We can never get away and do something in secret apart from Him. And that's a healthy reminder. But on the other hand, more positively, it's a reminder of the consolation and comfort of God's providence over our lives, His care for our lives. So all in all, I would put that psalm in a smaller category that I really don't discuss in this book, which is what we call psalms of confidence, psalms that express faith or trust in God's care for our lives.
Sure. Well, I don't know who assembled the psalms into the book of psalms that we have in Scripture. There seems to be, you raised the issue in your book about an architecture of different categories or a path through the Psalter. Can you say a word about the architecture of the Psalms from Psalm 1 through 150?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that has been most helpful for me, Deacon, in my own reading of the Psalms, is to recognize that as we move through the Psalter, there is a basic plot line. It's not perfect, and there are certainly exceptions to it. But more or less, you move from kind of what we might think of as the period of David's early kingship, when he was beset by enemies and hunted by Saul and those kind of persecutions. And he laments a lot. And those are largely in book one of the Psalter, which is Psalms 1 through 41. And then you move from book one into book two, which is Psalms 42 through 72. And those 31 psalms have more expressions of confidence, and we see the strengths of David's royal city, Jerusalem, being mentioned. We get the first what we call Zion psalms, or psalms about the city of Jerusalem, in book 2. And it reaches a high point at the end with Psalm 72, which reflects the glory of Solomon. It kind of marks the high point of the whole book of Psalms, at least until we get to the end of the Psalms, where we get back up to those emotional heights once more. Then when we move into book three, which is Psalm 73 through 89, things go downhill fast, Deacon. We get a lot more communal laments where the whole nation is in trouble. A lot of ominous signs on the horizon, so to speak. And book three of the Psalter, ends with two of the darkest psalms, Psalm 88 and 89. Psalm 88, one of the few psalms that ends without any kind of hint of hope. And then Psalm 89, which reflects the destruction of the Davidic kingdom and the deposing of the king from off the throne and the Babylonian exile, what a disaster that was. So that book ends kind of on a very, very low note. And then you move into book four, which kind of reflects on God's dealings with the people of Israel, and it gets kind of philosophical, and the emphasis shifts from the kingdom of David more to the kingdom of God, and we go back to Abraham and Moses and ponder them and their covenants and the promises that God made to them. We kind of move away from the Davidic kingdom theme and end with kind of a review of Israel and a prayer for God to restore Israel. And that's taken up at the beginning of book five, which is Psalms 107 through 150. Psalm 107 thanks God for bringing Israel back from the exile. And then we move in a long building process that moves towards really the heights of praise at the end of that book in the last five psalms. Along the way, in Psalms 120 to 134, we have this set of 15, what we call Psalms of Ascent, which are pilgrimage psalms for when you're going up to Jerusalem to bring your sacrifice there after the exile was over. And then that last book of the Psalter ends with the five famous Hallelujah psalms, Psalms 146 through 150, each of which begins with the phrase Hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. It's kind of like the ending of a Beethoven symphony where you call out the timpani and the drums and the trumpets and the brass and the violins are going crazy. And, you just make a lot of noise and a lot of music. And that's basically how the Psalter ends with a big bang at the end in Psalms 146 to 150. So All told, he kind of moves through the pattern of the kingdom of David and its ups and downs through the course of the Psalms.
So we know that the Psalms are read at almost every Mass. You and I are both having troubles with our voice today. The Psalms are read at almost every Mass. Why are they read, and what makes it important that they're included in a Mass?
Well, this is another fascinating aspect about the Psalms, Deacon, but what we find out when we study them in depth is that a lot of the Psalms were written for the Thanksgiving sacrifice. It's a little-known fact that in ancient Israel, there was a sacrifice called the Thanksgiving. And it's a type of the Eucharist, because the word Eucharist, of course, means Thanksgiving. And in ancient times, though, you would usually offer the Thanksgiving sacrifice when you're going through a situation of distress and you cried out to God in lament, and then God acted to save you, and then you would go to the temple and you would celebrate. And a lot of the Psalms were written either for that lamenting process where you're crying out to God to save you, or for that praising in the temple process after God had saved you and you were up giving thanks to the temple. And I would say more than half of the Psalms were written for some stage in that process of either crying out to God for salvation or giving him thanks for salvation by offering that Thanksgiving sacrifice. So now that we're in the new covenant, Deacon, and Jesus has saved us once for all by his activity on the cross, then we sing these Psalms of David that he wrote for the ancient Thanksgiving sacrifice, now that we have the new Thanksgiving sacrifice called the Eucharist. So it really makes a lot of sense.
Is there a way for Catholics to approach the Psalms helped by reading your book?
Oh, yes, there's many ways. One of the best ways is to make use of the office, the Divine Office or the Liturgy of the Hours, which is really set up around reading the Psalms. And folks can get into that, although it is a little challenging. I mean, there's a lot to read in the Liturgy of Hours, and not everybody has enough time in their day to do that. And there's a lot of other recipes you can use as well. One of the personal favorites of mine that my mom started me on when I was little was the practice of reading every 30th psalm. So you do this monthly, and on the first day of the month, you read Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, and so on. And then on day 2, you know, Psalm 2, Psalm 32, Psalm 62, Psalm 92. And in that way, Deacon, you end up reading 5 psalms a day through all 30 days of the month, and you move through the whole Psalter, and you get a kind of a well-rounded meal because you get psalms from different parts of the Psalter, which have different feelings to them. And, you know, it's very rich. So that's one way to do it. Or folks can just kind of start at the beginning and read a few psalms a day and mark where they stop when their prayer time is over and work their way through in sequence, which is also, you know, well and good. So there's a lot of different ways of getting the psalms into your life, and no matter which way you choose, it's just great to make make meditation on these beautiful songs a regular part of our spiritual diet.
Amen, amen, amen. This book, dear listeners, is Psalm Basics for Catholics, Seeing Salvation History in a New Way by Dr. John Bergsma. It's available through Ave Maria Press, and I found it wonderful to get into, and I have more to read from the book, and I encourage you to to look for it wherever good books are sold. Dr. Bergsma, before we say goodbye, tell us about Stunned by Scripture, your other new book.
Sure, Deacon Fox. It's, you know, just a real delight for me to be able to get this book, Stunned by Scripture, out, available to folks. It's my personal testimony about how I came into the Catholic Church, kind of wrapped around a biblical defense of the Catholic faith. And in the book, I talked about how I came in to the faith. But especially I look at, you know, 6 or 7 different topics that are flashpoints between Protestants and Catholics, and, you know, things like the papacy, Mary, Eucharist, confession. And I point how I reacted to those doctrines at first, and then how the Bible actually helped me to get over my objections to those Catholic teachings and grow to accept them. And I think, you know, I hope that other folks reading my story will be assisted to understand how the Scriptures really are foundational to our Catholic faith, and look not only at our Catholic teachings in a new light, but also look at the Scriptures in a new light.
Awesome. So we spent most of our time today talking about Psalm Basics for Catholics. It has a number of recommendations from recognized people of the Catholic faith walk these days: Mike Aquilina, Brent Petrie, Scott Powell, director of the Aquinas Institute for Catholic Thought. And I happen to notice that a former regular correspondent here on Catholic Vitamins, Sonia Corbett, author of Unleashed, has a short squib recommending this book. So well recommended. That is Scripture, Psalm Basics for Catholics, and the other new book that we talked about, Stunned by Scripture. All right, let's do a little bit of contact information. Where can people find you on the web?
CatholicBibleTeacher.com is the easiest way to get to my website. And Catholic Productions are my agents who produce my audio works, available on CD or MP3. And they also resell the books. And you can get autographed copies through them if you want to go for that option.
And the best recommendation is to take courses at Franciscan University, where you will you will enjoy.
That's always the best option.
Yeah, yeah, you'll enjoy, as the students do, getting to learn and love Scripture. I may have mentioned this in an earlier time together, Dr. Bergsma. I have the complete set of your CDs on the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And while we didn't book our time together to talk about that, I'd just like to put a plug in. Would you want to say a few words about the Dead Sea Scrolls, how they were found, and what you cover in the CD?
Sure. I've got several sets on the Dead Sea Scrolls, a 1-hour, a 3-hour, and a 30-hour version of covering the Dead Sea Scrolls, and folks can pick the punishment they want to take on there with the scrolls. But The scrolls are just fascinating, discovered around 1948, came to light over a couple of decades of exploration and publication. Turned out to be the remains of a library of an ancient Jewish monastery that was on the shores of the Dead Sea during the time of our Lord, which makes it so fascinating. It was contemporary with the life of our Lord and the apostles. And we see that their library apparently was comprised of about 1,000 different scrolls. About a quarter of those were what we would recognize as scripture, as biblical books. But about three quarters were their own religious writings, detailing their theology and their liturgy and their communal life together. And so it's very fascinating discovery. Obviously, it's been called the greatest archaeological discovery of the 20th century because it gives us a window into the life and the thinking of Jews right at the time that our Lord was ministering. And it's really elucidated a number of passages of the New Testament that otherwise would have been kind of head scratchers. And it's helped us to establish the Hebrew, the authentic Hebrew of the Old Testament. So it's been a lot of value to the church. And I think that they deserve to be more widely known.
Okay, so I have the full CD set. I think it's 6 or 7 CDs. Once again, where is that available on the web?
Sure, that would be at, first of all, you can get it through my website, johnbergsma.com or catholicbibleteacher.com, or from Catholic Productions, which is the folks in Louisiana who produce my audio works, and that's just catholicproductions.com.
Very good. Dr. Bergsma, thank you so very much for the gift of your time on your lunch hour, I might mention. So, a Lenten diet with Dr. Bergsma. Thank you very much. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you, Deacon. Always good to be with you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Dr. John Bergsma, our special guest, a repeat guest, and one that we enjoy having on Catholic Vitamins. You know, Dee, during the interview, I told Dr. Bergsma that my favorite psalm was 139. And he right away started speaking about it. He said, it is a lament song mixed with trust. And I had never thought about a psalm having more than one theme. And so that's part of the joy of learning at the feet, so to speak, of Dr. Bergsma. And we have a kind of a special gift. We have an arrangement with Franciscan University that we can share short segments, easy for me to say, share short segments of speaker talks. And I have one that I picked from Dr. Bergsma. He's really the reason that we picked the vitamin of impassioned. He is very impassioned about Holy Scripture and what it has to teach us, and I'm looking forward to sharing that after we finish this little segment. Dear.
Do you remember in Deacon Formation when we had, I forget her sister's name, sister that taught us the class on the Psalms?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I remember. I can't remember her name right now, but yeah. And I think I started that class thinking, oh, it seems like it'd be boring, but it was fascinating.
Very interesting, yes.
Yeah, it really is. Well, we have a little bit of feedback.
I have a piece of feedback here. This came in from Katie Warner, our guest on the last show. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yay.
It's always my pleasure to be on the show. I pray many listeners are blessed in some way, some small way, by the episode and all your episodes. Also appreciate you mentioning the Family Faith Snapshot series that I recently started in the Register.
That's a National Catholic Register.
Right. The features have been posting every weekend, and these families have been so inspirational to interview and learn from. Blessings to you and Dee. Please keep me in prayer during Holy Week as my due date approaches.
Yes, we've been praying for the child that she's expecting, another daughter, as I remember her telling us on the last show. So, Dee, I think we have a little bit more prattle that we can do before the show ends, and we have a book giveaway. So why don't we do the special segment by Dr. Bergsma from his talk to the priest, deacons, seminarians. He calls it the PDS talks. And we'll be back on the other side of that.
It's a blessing to be with you this morning. And I am so looking forward to this talk, to sharing from Scripture with you. This has just been a time of grace for me to have the opportunity to prepare some remarks on this theme. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to do a brief biblical theology of blessing, and then we're going to draw some applications. That's the basic plan. But before we get into that, let's ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would send down your Spirit upon us as you have so generously throughout salvation history. Give us attentive ears and open hearts to receive from you the blessing which you wish to bestow on us this morning. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So the theme for this conference is the power of God, but the title of this talk is the word of blessing. And you might say, well, how do those two things go together? Well, several months ago, I got an email saying, Dr. Bergsma, we'd like you to talk at the PDS conference, and our theme is the power of God. So do you have some talks that would fit into that theme? And I looked at that, and I thought to myself, well, the power of God. What does that not include? So I guess the answer is yes. I have some things that would fit under that, pretty much everything that I do. But we got to narrow that down a little bit. So I started to think, how can I narrow this down? I started to think, well, maybe we could talk about different, you know, manifestations of the power of God throughout in church history. We could talk about the Battle of Lepanto or Fatima or other great events of salvation in church history. But I thought there's earlier manifestations of God's power. There's, of course, the miracles of the New Testament, the miracles at the hands of the apostles, at the hands of our Lord, the Lord's resurrection. We could talk about those great manifestations of power, but I thought, oh, you know, Dr. Hahn will probably cover the resurrection at some point, so I had to do something else. I'm the Old Testament guy. I better move back into the Old Testament. So I thought, what about the miracles in the Old Testament? We got Elijah. We've got Moses, the 10 plagues. Those were great manifestations of God's power, but even those weren't the first manifestations of God's power. We got to push it all the way back to creation. When God calls the whole universe into existence out of nothing. Now, surely creatio ex nihilo has to make everybody's top 10 list of manifestations of God's power in the universe. So why don't we push it back that far and contemplate God's creation? And let's imagine that we are there in the inky blackness of the abyss, and if we could hear the divine speech, we would hear the still small voice speaking, "Let there be light." And then we would be blinded by the flash of energy and matter as the whole universe came into being, started to spread at unimaginable speeds across now what we call time and space. This is how it's described in the book of Origins, the book of Genesis. Even scientists now concede that this is basically how it happened, a burst of light. The universe comes into being. And how does God do that? He does that by speaking. Okay? He manifests his power through his word. And we all know the creation story. We know the six acts of the 6 days, the hexameron, as God progressively speaks and each aspect of creation comes into being. And after each aspect of creation comes into being, what does God say about it? He says, "It is good." So in the six acts of creation, God speaks to manifest his power and then pronounces it as good. Well, what is it in theological discourse when you speak the good word. Okay? Bene, good. Dicere, speak. This is to bless. The Latin word, benedictus, it is the good word. Bene dictus. Likewise in Greek, the Greek word for blessing is eulogia. Good, like euphoria, you know, good feelings, like euangelion, the good message, evangelism, the good news. Eulogia, the good word. And in a verb, eulogeo, okay, to speak the good word. It suddenly dawned on me, God manifests his power through the word of blessing. In fact, that's basically the theme for this talk. God's power flows through the word of blessing. Say that with me. God's power flows through the word of blessing. In a very real sense, God called the universe into a being through his words of blessing. And then when he called the high point of the universe into being, which is mankind, the first thing he said to man was a word of blessing. And so we read in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's an important concept that we'll come back to. And fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So verse 28, God blessed them. What's the content? Well, the content of that blessing is what he then says. So be fruitful and multiply, and the rest of that statement, that is the content of the blessing bestowed on the first man. So God's first word to us is blessing.
Tiny portion of his talk, A Word of Blessing. That CD is available from the bookstore at Franciscan University. It's from the 2013 Priests, Deacons, and Seminarians conference, and we have a special giveaway that I mentioned during the interview, and that giveaway is the two CD set of The Conversion of Dr. John Bergsma.
Speaking of giveaways.
Yes.
Our other giveaways that we've been promoting are, I have the CD in my hand, the CD by Steve Ray, Defending the Eucharist, You Are What You Eat.
Should be a very good talk, yes.
And a small booklet called Winter of the Heart, Finding Your Way Through the Misery of Grief by Paula D'Arcy.
And we have a third book, one that Dee got at the Catholic Women's Conference. This is our last week for offering these offerings. If you will send a email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our studio, 928-363-4144, and leave contact information. This last book is You're Worth It, Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. And it's written by Danielle Bean, who has been on Catholic Vitamins before as a guest, and she was the speaker at the Catholic Women's Conference that Dee attended down in Phoenix a few months ago. You had your picture taken with her. I haven't had one taken since 2009 with Danielle. Well, dear friends, I think we're towards the wrap-up. We want to go out with some music from our special musician and singer and speaker, Chris Muglia. Dee, what are we doing for our next show?
Catholic Vitamin J will be the next vitamin. Starts with J, ends in N, 13 letters.
Oh, that's a little bit of a hard one. Send your guess, once again, catholicvitamins@gmail.com, and say, my guess for the next show is, and then put in your word, J, how many letters? 13.
13, ends in N.
All right. Well, dear friends, thank you for being a listener to the Catholic Vitamins podcast or program, depending on whether you're on the World Wide Web or on our KPIH radio station. Being able to do this is a blessing in our life, and we hope that we nourish faith from A to Z.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
God is here. Here for the broken, here for the strong. Here in this temple we belong. Here in our hearts, here in our lives, our God is here.
Here.